Hey, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Nerd Radio, your national NerdNet radio direct. And, of course, the Nick and Nate Show. And I am Nick, so that must mean
that I am Nate, who actually remembered to unmute his mic this time. Thank
Yay!
You.
Yay!
I do big
He
things.
Learns. You gotta yell at him a couple of times, nip him on the butt, but he learns.
You learn to like the nipping after a while.
Oh. Lordy, lordy. So, hey, how are what the fuck was that?
This is what's great about live, everyone. You have quiet on
something
set,
quiet just on. Like... Oh, it's the cat. Oh. The cat. What are you doing, buddy? Speaking of cat, I got a new little kitty cat. He's a little orange cat. And it's for my daughter's birthday. And so we let her name him, and she like immediately came up with Parker. And I'm like, Peter Parker, good job. You're my girl. You're my daughter. You're definitely my daughter. But that's not even the best part. The best part is the newest Spider-Man. He has a little cat that can go around with him. What color is that cat, Nate?
Orange.
Yeah. I was like, hell yeah. Ashley tried to get her to call him like Cheeto, and her reasoning was
so lame. I'm sorry,
right? Like, but so her reasoning was that one of her employees has a cat that's orange, and she called him Cheeto. So I'm like, already you've lost me. You want me to name a cat after some, you know, douchebag employee? Sorry, not going to happen.
And I'll be honest with you. Orange cats are probably some of my favorite cats. Orange dreamsicles, yeah, as I like to call them.
Oh.
They're so full of personality.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
yeah, we got this little guy, and it is another boy, so I'm not as outnumbered as I was before. But this little guy, I got him. I had to have him in a box, and I had to put like a little blanket over it because he was in basically like the next town over or whatever. But it's, you know, it's not that, it's more like a suburb of Boise than it is like, you know, next town over and anything. But anyway, so I get over there. I kind of pull over because I just want to, you know, see how he is or whatever. And I try and put my hand in there, and he's just. And he's like swiping at me. I call my wife up, and I'm like, I think this cat is feral, because when I went there, it's not like the guy was like, oh, hey, yeah, come inside, I got this nice little, you know, bed set up for them, and they're just hanging out there with their mother or something. No, they're out in a like literal chicken coop just outside. And I'm like, okay, I was just like, whatever, whatever. So, yeah, like I said, I pulled over. I tried to touch him, and he was just like, not having it. And like, no, get away from me. And this is not. So I called my wife up. Like I said, I'm like, he might be feral. I don't know. So I worked with him just a little bit in the car, and he didn't like it. But it's like, as soon as I got close to him, he would swipe at me a couple times, and then I'd be able to at least touch him. But then, yeah, he was just, it was really bad. So it was really awkward presenting him to my daughter, because obviously her birthday's on the 11th, so it's already an early birthday present anyways. But presenting him to her was a little awkward, because it's like, okay, so you can't really touch him. You have to be really careful. He might try to bite you or scratch you. And happy birthday.
Yeah. It's like,
so,
how do you warm it up like that? It's like,
right.
It immediately wants
it's,
to, oh.
She was very excited, though. And like I said, she came up with the name for it, and she loves it or whatever. And we were just really patient. And over the course of the day, he started getting a lot more comfortable. And then the first full day with us, which would have been yesterday, at the time of this recording, he was getting way more used to us before, because we kind of put him in the bathroom, because that was the only place where like he couldn't get under something and make it really hard for us to retrieve him, basically. Yeah. So we put him in the bathroom because that was like the only thing, like he couldn't get under a counter, or if he did, like we could still get to him and everything and try to work with him or whatever. And so, like I said, first full day yesterday, and before he would be like, go hide under the toilet, and if I even tried to get near him, he would like swipe at me or whatever. First full day yesterday, and I'd come in the door and he'd like actually come up to me or whatever. And I'm like, okay, this is working, you know? And I'm so glad that, like, because my wife, when I first called her, was like, well, should you take him back? Like, if he's feral or whatever? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm working with him right now, and he's at least letting me pet him, so maybe we just need to work at it. And we did. So I'm so glad that we did, because now we got this cute little orange fluff ball, and he was chasing around Buddy this morning, which was freaking adorable. So... And of course, Buddy right now is like three times his size or whatever, and so yeah, it's good. It's good. Got a new family member or whatever. How's your boring cats?
They're gems. They're not. Well, I mean, well, Obi's like five. Kylo is three. Kylo Loren, we call him on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Or our orange floof, or orange variety, we call him a few different names.
Yeah,
he demands loves, and he is the most precious thing.
He's my boy.
My boy.
During our first break, I'm gonna have you leave and come back because you're just a little delayed as far as video. So just for our video viewers, for their sake, during our first break.
He's gonna kick me away.
So, man, we've had a week. We had our first knocked out radio, and it went well. I get the audio from it, and I sound like I'm in a stadium. It's really echoey. And so, I don't know if you remember, but right before the show started, I wanted to find a way where I could hear the musical cues so that I could, you know, come in at the right time or whatever. And so I was trying to figure that out. And so I clicked on one too many things. And so basically what was happening is it was picking up my microphone twice. And so there was just like a millisecond delay in between the two of them. So it just sounded like... Well, it wasn't like that bad. But no, it sounded horrible. It sounded like I was like... I'm in an old town radio. Like, oh god, it was so bad.
You think darkness is your ally?
Right? I was like Bane or whatever. It worked at the very beginning. The very beginning, I'm like, hey everybody, welcome to Knock Out Radio. K-O! And it's like, that worked out perfectly as far as like the sound of it or whatever. But from there on out, it was just like, oh god, it sounds so bad.
Yeah, did you tell the people that it was gonna be Bane joining welcome to Knocked Out Radio. Why do you think darkness is your ally?
Well, and I mean, like, on the one hand, it sucks. On the other hand, I definitely don't think it was one of my better performances. The beginning and the end were very, like, I was stumbling all over the place. And I mean, I normally stumble, but charismatically, whereas I was just stumbling. You know what I mean? I was stumbling I was just stumbling just because. I'm like, yeah, so, I guess we're done. You know, like, I didn't like it. Everything in the middle where we're just having a chat, like, that's where... both of us really shine.
New show jitters.
Huh?
I think it was new show jitters.
For sure. So on the one hand, it sucks that it's just lost to history or whatever. A couple of people have already checked it out because I didn't get rid of it on YouTube or Twitch. Instead, I just made it unlisted. So if you went to the tweet, for instance, and you clicked on the tweet on the link, you could still watch it on either YouTube or Twitch. But I just basically... buried it so that like that's not showing up on our front page or whatever. So because yeah. I wasn't very happy with the, and it just sucks because I do feel like the meat of the podcast was really good, the bread beginning and end. That's the part where I was a little too nervous.
We couldn't make the sandwich, but we made a good internal.
Yeah, the platter of meat.
The platter of meat. So let me ask you a question. It's a geographical question.
Okay.
Do you in Idaho have any specific daiquiri places?
Daiquiri. What do you mean by daiquiri? Like, that's a drink, obviously. So what do you mean by a daiquiri place?
So, okay, this is where it's... So in Texas and Louisiana, there are these places where basically they're adult slushies.
Oh, okay, so okay.
They're these, like, they're already mixed in alcohol, frozen daiquiris, basically. Frozen daiquiris is what they are.
So, but like, so what makes it a daiquiri place is that that's all they serve?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, and, interesting.
And what's great about Texas, and which, by the way, for everyone, this is a nice Topo Chico. This legitimately, I can confirm, this is spicy water. This gets me every time I drink it. It is very much like, it's acidic. But they're drive-thru also.
Oh, interesting.
So...
How is that legal?
It's one of those, most of them have a seal.
It's a very gray area.
Have a like tape seal on the actual thing. So it's like, you can see if it's punctured. If it's punctured, you're getting pulled over. But if it's intact.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's what keeps it. But no, you're not wrong. I mean, you can easily, well, I mean, I was going to say you can lift it, but they have it taped down to it basically. But
no.
So it's, yes, it's very interesting down here in the South.
Down here.
But there's a place, there's a kind of brand new daiquiri place that is in my town that we hadn't gone to yet. Mm-hmm. And it actually had food there. So they had like po' boys, they had wings, they had like Philly cheesesteaks. Mm-hmm. But what was cool is the presentation. So basically, like, you walk in and the checkout is like just these bars with several systems. Mm-hmm. And then it's just a wall of different flavors of machines. Like mango, pineapple.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, you know, you could sample it and taste it. And then we got the 16 ounce, which is small, and they give you these little tiny plastic vase things. And so it's just like this colorful boss.
Do you know the definition of insanity?
these like little. And so you just it's a cool experience. But yeah, we had like three daiquiris for the table. Almost called high octane, which had the most alcohol. And we're just sitting there going. We're like passing around, like drinking it. And I just kind of looked and went, man, if Anthony Fauci was watching us right now, he would really be disappointed. Because literally just like it was like six of us. We're like just kind of passing them around. But that was something I was curious about, because I know that there's obviously geographical differences between, like, for example, liquor stores aren't open on Sundays in Texas.
Oh, God.
And they close like at 9 or 10.
Neither are Chick-fil-A's.
Neither Chick-fil-A's. But like when we went to Nebraska.
Feels like a conspiracy. Time, you know what I mean?
Conspiracy of Christ. The Christian conspiracy.
So, I mean, to answer your question, no. But also, I'm not 26 or whatever. So, like, I'm not searching for these things here in Idaho.
So the reason we went was I wanted to go for the Cajun food because I realized they had food. Because I'm kind of the same. I'm like... Because I'm not a big drinker, obviously.
Right.
but, like, I do like frozen daiquiris because, you know, they're very tasty. And so whenever I was like, oh, they have food. Okay, let's go try it out. And it was it was really good. It was a lot of fried food because it was a fried shrimp po' boy. So I felt like shit the next day. But what was I going to say? I ran out of it, Nick. It fell out of my pocket. My pocket.
You can do it.
It literally fell out of my pocket. I can do it.
Your penis? What fell out of your pocket?
I was using that to say, like, the lost my train of thought.
I know.
Thank you for making me explain myself and ruin the joke.
I mean, I feel like your delivery ruined the joke, but sure.
Speaking of, like, knockout radio, do you think that... Because I just got to thinking about this. Do you think that this might have enough brand awareness to where we could get collaboration with other brands, because like I was sitting there looking at the on my shelf, I was looking at the Infinity Gauntlet, and I was like, man, wouldn't that be fucking cool if like there was like a Marvel something in like Knockout, to where like you had like it was like a power up, it was like a Thanos Glover kind of, I just something that mm-hmm. that popped in my head. But I'm like, I wonder if that it could get to the point where other brands are making like skin deals and things like that.
I mean, like I kind of talked about it in the intro, but since that's dead, I do believe that this very well could be like the next kind of Fortnite type of game. You know what I mean? Because anybody else who's tried to topple Fortnite, they've maybe copied the content structure, they maybe copied the rollout structure or the games of service structure, but what they haven't really been able to replicate is the aesthetic. What? What?
You added an extra syllable to replicate and it just caught me off guard.
Replicate?
Is there replicate?
Okay. I'm sure I didn't. Anyways, replicate. What they haven't been able to replicate is the aesthetic. You know, it's Fortnite's very childlike. I mean, as much as big kids play it too, it's very kid friendly. I guess family friendly is probably a better way of putting it, because you are still somewhat killing, even though they teleport before they die. But anyway, as I digress, point is the aesthetic is very similar in the sense of it's very family friendly, but also I feel like in many ways it could go anywhere. We could have Star Wars characters throwing dodgeballs at each other. We could have Marvel characters, and it really just depends on, I think, how popular the game gets. And versus, you know, because Star Wars isn't going to go to Knocked Out Radio just because they ask, please. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's going to have to be popular. And I believe it has a really good chance, you know, and for multiple reasons that I've talked about before. But, like, how easy it is to get into the game, I'd say even easier than Fortnite. Because Fortnite, there's plenty to do on the side, sure, and if that's the type of player you are, great, but I still feel like you still have to somewhat be good at shooting and everything. Yeah. And I feel like Knockout City, I feel like it's enough of a team game where you could end up being like a support player and still get a bunch of, you know, dubs. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas in Fortnite, yeah, I mean, if you have a good Slayer on your team, yeah, but, like, you still feel like you're not doing that much. But a really good example is, like, the passing mechanic. You know, when you pass the ball, if I pass the ball to you, it becomes overcharged.
Yeah.
And so now it's going to fly a lot faster than it was before. So by me just passing the ball, not doing anything myself, because also I don't even have to be looking at you, I can literally just press the pass button. And it will pass it to whoever's the closest, yeah. Right? So by just being a support character, I'm helping you out, because then that ball's going to travel two times as fast and give you a chance to take out the person, you know? Or, hey, you don't have a ball, so I turn myself into a ball, and that's the only time that you can do, like, an ultimate, which is you charge it up, and then you charge it to a certain point where I turn into this giant, like, airstrike, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you still have to aim the airstrike, but still, I can be a support character and I can just kind of play the game. And no other competitive game really does that.
Yeah.
We did mention, Dunks is in the chat, we did mention in our first episode that it's going to be free. Well, free. Free on Game Pass, EA Play. Which EA Play you can have on the PC, on the Xbox, and the PlayStation. I did do a little research. The negative is that, like, for instance, I have a pretty good PC, and I have a PlayStation. But if I get EA Play on my PlayStation, for instance, I can't use it on my PC. So that kind of sucks, because Game Pass, for instance, you can. But also, I don't know how many of those actually work, because there are certain, like, Xbox games that don't pull over to the PC. So I just don't know, you know, until it actually comes out, I don't know how that's going to work out, you know, because it would be nice to pay one flat rate and still be able to, because another thing is I would like to try it on all the consoles that I have access to, which right now is the Switch, the PC, and the PlayStation. I'd like to try them all so like have a really good idea of the differences and basically just being informed for the viewer or listener, you know what I mean? So
yeah, I think it really comes down to art style, because something about the way that Knockout City looks, I enjoy much more than Fortnite. And I didn't play Splatoon ever, but like the art style of it, I really enjoyed and I really thought was unique and something I hadn't really seen before. And it kind of gives off that aesthetic. But also, I think because it's such a like nostalgic, natural feeling of just throwing like a dodgeball simulator, like an animated dodgeball simulator in a lot of way.
Yeah.
It just gets me more excited than just picking up a gun and trying to find someone to shoot and then build things and then trying to, you know.
Yeah.
I guess the simplicity of it sounds a lot more satisfying right now.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's gonna be a big thing. I've heard tons of people already talking about it. The general buzz around it is that people can't wait to try out the full game. So it's like, it's. Right now, it's like I'm cautiously optimistic, because it's like if it were up to me and everybody was exactly like me, this game is going to do gangbusters. But unfortunately, yeah, you're going to have your negative Nancys, your, you know, Polly Wallys. I don't know.
Polly Wally was a bear. Polly Wally had no hair.
But also the other thing I don't think has been really explained very well is that it also is going to have a free trial when it launches. So not only do you get it free on Game Pass, you get it on EA Play, but it also is going to have a free trial at the beginning. So I don't know, is that going to be like WoW, where at level 20 you can't go any further, or is it going to be like the weekend, you know what I mean, like the first weekend it comes out it's going to have a free trial? I haven't been able to find an article about what that actually entails, so maybe when we have the developer on, they'll kind of, you know, illuminate that for us.
It sounds, I don't know if it's specified specifically through EA Play, but it's, if I'm to take a guess, Origin, Access, EA Play, like all the kind of that same service under the same brand. I wish they would just go with the same branding, just do Origin, like right. What, like, or EA Play, whatever. Yeah, just rebrand. But whenever you subscribe to that, for all their games, you do get like a 24 or 16 hour trial of the game, or like 10 hours, like not real time, like in-game time.
Yeah. And that's just for the ones that aren't included as free games or whatever.
Correct. Yeah. These are like, this is for, you can access all of their games
exactly
on a trial. So,
even like a Battlefield or something. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's cool about the service.
Yeah, but sure.
That also goes into Sony be fucking up and not, like, you brought it up during the intro. They hit a nerve.
Yeah, I'm so sick of Sony,
because like, it's like, in like so many the fact ways. That you can get Ultimate and you have EA Play, Game Pass, Xbox Live, all for $15 a fucking month.
Right. I mean, even if Sony got Ubisoft and they got their Ubisoft, whatever the heck it's called, but there's an Ubisoft version of like EA Play, for instance. What?
You play here all.
Yeah, probably you play. It probably has something to do with you play or whatever. But the point is that you, even Ubisoft has something like that. And so if they had something, I mean, and there's rumors of what?
That's actually a lot better. Ubisoft Plus.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I mean, there are rumors that PlayStation has something that's going to be competing, but it's like, stop trying to like pick a time to announce it and just fucking announce it, because like you've lost your chance to be like on top of everything. Now you're playing catch up. You are the DCEU of streaming services right now. You suck ass. Get your shit together. And on that note, let's go into our very first music break. And when we come back, let's talk. What are we talking about, Nate?
We'll talk about what we've been playing.
Well, what have we been playing? Is that what we're going to be talking about? maybe what we've been watching too, huh?
Well, we're talking about your mom, yeah. We're talking about what we've been doing, all kinds of things.
Oh God, you're so naughty. Anyways, I was just trying to kill time,
bro.
Oh God, enough of that.
So I do gotta ask, because I got back in the chat, and what, Dunks, what's the context of old people banging?
He said what we were gonna be talking about next. So old people banging.
Old people banging, right.
I mean, yeah. I cannot imagine what it's gonna be like when I'm like 60, let's say 50, 60. You know, got to get that little special blue pill just to do things with my wife. That's if she's still around, because, or if I'm still around. I don't know. That's all I got. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'll go into a real, real dark place. Speaking of dark places, buttholes.
Oh, God. How is that better?
It's not as morbid.
I mean, depends on how you. It's kind of shitty. But, hey.
I mean, we're not.
So what have you been playing? Let's get into that. Jesus Christ.
So honestly, for me, I've still been playing a lot of Far Cry 4. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's been the most exciting, and I put a link in there in the doc for you. So the other day, or not the other day, a couple weeks ago. I was talking to this customer. I work in sales. I work in a call center. I'm not going to say what it's for, blah, blah, blah. And we were talking about video games and brought up the Quest because that's when I had just gotten my Quest 2. And he was like, yeah, I wanted to get it for this thing called Within. And I'm like, fuck is that? I didn't say fuck on the phone or else I would have lost my job. And so he told me, he's like, basically it's like YouTube, but it's like made for the Quest and like made for VR. And so what it is there are VR specific documentaries, like educational, like kind of presentation stuff. There was one I saw that was a Google Earth recreate or a simulation of the bombing of Hiroshima, which was very depressing. But there's like light show stuff. But what's cool about it is it gives you the sensation like that scene in The Matrix when you're in the white room and the like gun cabinets. It's like your full perspective, like fully immersed, just watching this presentation. But also, speaking of Knockout City, and I didn't put it in the doc, but I'm going to send it to you here. This is one of those that I feel like might make you get if you had it.
Oh, interesting. So I'm watching the one video where, like, it's essentially like you're able to look around the SNL.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. So it's like there's there for it.
Correct. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's real life, some stuff that's animated. Yeah, it's really cool. But there's another one, speaking of, like, kind of Knockout City, I just got to thinking about.
Make sure you send it in Discord, because otherwise I have to bring it up on the chat window and everybody sees it and shit.
Yeah, we don't want people seeing our dirty secrets.
Especially when you sent me the dildos.
I still can't believe that. Oh, that one killed
me. Well, you told me no, so what did you think?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Of course, Nate, I'll respect your wishes.
So this one, it might be kind of hard to see what's going on, but it's called Echo VR. It's completely free. There's no
of course you put it in some fucking weird spot, dude.
You said Discord.
Well, right, but then you put it in staff Discord, not the whatever.
Oh, it's you're fun. Right. Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. I did. Okay, that's my bad.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Fine.
Anyways,
well, this is what
it?
We get for putting it back on Sundays.
Oh, hello. Oh, this is like that thing from what's
Tron?
No, the movie Endgame, Ender's Game.
Yeah, Ender's Game.
Yeah, it's like that game from that.
Yeah, but basically, what you do is like you navigate. You're basically a jet propelled robot, and you're having to like it's part throwing the disc, but also like grabbing onto your surroundings.
Right. So
like, basically, having to grab onto.
And you've played this.
I haven't played the multiplayer part of it. I've only played the tutorial because I got a little disoriented.
I would imagine, yeah. That's something you have to... Well, see, this is the quote unquote future that I would love to see is, you know, I would imagine multiplayer being the hardest thing because it's like you're processing, what is this, six people, and you're processing their position, their yaw, their pitch, their acceleration. And not only that, but then you also have to have six people who have VR and everything. So,
and especially here's something that's about that. Yeah, it's running all on that headset.
Right. And I mean, like, yeah, right. I can't imagine, like, that's probably why VR doesn't, or that's why multiplayer games probably are a little harder on VR. Because
it's the attachment rate too is the biggest.
Exactly. Because it's like it's one thing to have a bunch of people playing Beat Saber. You know what I mean? That's something that literally everybody plays or whatever. But it's a whole nother thing to be like, oh yeah, let's make this really disorienting. Like Riggs is a really good example. Like it came out with the VR, the PSVR, whatever. And it's like here's this big like multiplayer mech arena or whatever. It's probably like a really good game, but how many people actually like played it more than just to show off how cool it is?
Yeah, and it's one of those that's what's kind of spoiled like me with the Quest 2 is like the experiences are so like I put some of my friends in it to try out and mm-hmm. like I could see their awkwardness, they're kind of stumbling, not really know what to do, they're uncomfortable, and it's like mm-hmm. it's really hard to tell someone who hasn't done and experienced that before it's natural. Like just think about it naturally. Like just think about you picking something up, because after you like figure out what the controls do, that's how it feels. It's just picking something up. And so I had went and another Quest thing is I rebought the Darth Vader Immortal from that on the PlayStation, and it is a night and day difference. Oh, yeah. First off, the controller has a steady hum vibration the entire time the lightsaber's on.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
But I'm sitting there going, and I was, and I'll do some footage. I'll send it to Facebook or something. But like I was just doing the dojo. And like it's literally like full motion, like everything my hand is doing, it's doing, and you're just like moving around and like slicing, and then like even deflecting feels so much more accurate. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to actually play the experience. But what's also really great is I was standing up, and my wife was sitting on the couch, and I had the lightsaber was in my hand, and you just press the button to activate it, and I was like, "Hey, baby," she's like, "What?" And I turned around, and I was like, "I'm just happy to see you." Like it just shot straight out and it shot directly at her, and it was just it's a cool like sandbox weird thing like that shouldn't feel natural, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one I would recommend more than anything. Like browse mm-hmm. eBay, browse Facebook. If you feel like you can get one for $200 like I did, it's the best purchase you'll ever make.
Yeah, definitely.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, that's the only reason I haven't gotten one is because, like, committing to, like, PSVR is a really good example. Committing to, like, $400 for a console and then another $200 has always been kind of my issue or whatever. So, like,
this is what I would do if I were you. I would either, so you, from the stimulus, you have the money set aside for the PlayStation 5, right?
That's gone, man. It's gone. I don't have the self. Well, it got to the point, I think it took like 2 weeks where I was just like, I'm not finding any. This is ridiculous. There's money just sitting there. I got both me and my wife a watch.
Are they Apple Watches?
No, they're, I don't know what the hell they're called. That's
right. Are they Fitbit?
Sort of. It's like a Fitbit, but yeah, I can get like text messages. If I have a call coming in, it'll notify me that there's a call.
You froze up.
Things like that.
Hey buddy.
Anyways,
it's a freezing man.
Okay. You've messed with my window. What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Yeah. What are you doing? You did something.
You were frozen for me. So I was trying to fill time, and then I'm.
Yeah, just because it's frozen for you doesn't mean it's frozen for everybody, dude.
I thought your internet, I thought the stream stopped, so I was
feeling time. No. So if you had the stream going, that would fix that problem.
Well, no, it is up. It's buffering. Like, that's what I was saying. I thought that
what did your you thing, do to my screen? You did something, and now there's a black bar said on words. Our screen.
I said words.
I know, but you did something on, the, and all of a sudden now it's messed up.
I didn't do anything. It's literally
it's all your fault. I didn't do anything. Can we just get back to it? Can we just get back into it? What have you been watching? Because let's move subtly into watching stuff, so I can get into stuff as well.
Well, why don't you go ahead? Because I went home with
the I watched Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat. I mean, my main takeaway is that it is completely and utterly okay.
Is it okay? So and I suck. I'm aware of this. I'm a piece of shit. I'm aware of this.
Yeah, man, I'm a piece of shit, man.
Oh man, I'm a real piece of shit. Okay, I'm sorry.
I haven't watched it yet.
So is it one of those, is it as like just dumb fun control your brain off, or is there stuff where you're just
I wish it was more dumb fun and turn my brain off. You know what I mean?
Does it try to be too much?
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, they're trying to take it serious, and on the one hand that's great, but on the other hand, it's just like, okay. Like, the best way I can describe it is that there's some fights that are just, like, over way too quickly, and yet they try to build them up. So it's like, okay, if it's going to be, like, a one-minute fight, why the fuck are you building it up?
Yeah.
Can I... I won't spoil it for you, but can I spoil just one thing for you?
Go ahead.
So Sonya Blade...
This is one I don't really give a shit about.
Okay, good. So Sonya Blade and Kano... Mm-hmm. They fight, and it's no god. They fight, and it's just so anticlimactic. It's over way too quickly. The choreography is sloppy. You know what I mean? The best fight is the fight we've already seen a lot of, which is the Sub-Zero and Scorpion fight.
Oh, they should even put that in the trailer.
At the end, where he's doing all his, he like cuts him, freezes his blood, and stabs him and shit like that. All that is the best part of the movie, because it's the best for choreography. It's the best story wise. Everything else is just so unimpactful until like maybe there's a fatality, and even then, it's just like, once again, it's over so goddamn quickly that it's just like, oh. Okay,
so there's basically no context to the reason why the last fight was so good is because there was an actual context to it, and there's a reason for it happening, and everything else that was.
Yes and no. There is still context.
Like, I'm sure,
like Sonya Blade and Kano.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a reason why they. I'm sure there's a reason why they fought, but is it like to the degree like would the guys on the stunt, like when they're doing the corridor videos on the stunt, react to, would they be like, okay, they didn't do this right, like this is how, like would it be that kind of thing?
No, I don't think so. It's just, I mean,
I hate when they do that though, because that shot I think should stay in the movie if that's one of the best parts, because that shot of him freezing the blood and stabbing him, like that's remarkable. Like,
yeah,
that's really,
and like cool. I said, yeah, that's the best part of the movie, but everything else is just so uneventful. You know, and then they do the thing that like every movie seems to need to do, which is like the middle of the movie is so uneventful, and then that kind of makes the end of it seem rushed, which is why a lot of the fight scenes are so uneventful. And there's this thing, I don't know what they call it in the movie, but it's like, let's call it their chi or whatever. They're trying to find their chi. Kano finds his chi. What's his dick, the guy that isn't even in the video games, he finds his chi or whatever, and then Jax, so fucking stupid.
Jax shouldn't have been in the movie, I assume, because I've heard a lot
No. I don't think it's the fact that he shouldn't have been in the movie, but you know the robot arms that he has in the movie? They just appear out of fucking nowhere, and I mean that quite fucking literally. They make him these little itty-bitty, like, skinny arms that he's trying to work with throughout the movie. And he finds his chi when he's trying to help Sonya Blade, and it just literally materializes out of nowhere so that he could pick up the thing off of Sonya Blade. And it's like, that's his chi. His chi is to create robot arms. Like, Kano's chi is the fucking eye laser. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Cole dude, or Cole McGrath motherfucker, his chi is like, he puts on like this armor or whatever, and it's like Wakandan armor, where when he gets hit, he can then redistribute the energy and hit back or whatever.
And let me guess, like, Raiden's is the hat. And...
yeah, Raiden's is like his overall ability to do the Captain America hat thing.
Yeah.
And then obviously Liu Kang is the fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but you're telling me that Jack's chi is to create robot fucking arms out of nowhere. They're not even like magic arms. They're robot arms. So it just doesn't make any fucking sense. At least like the laser, the fire, the ice, those are like elements. Yeah. You could technically say that an element / mineral is metal, but it's just, it's so unestablished. And it just appears out of nowhere, quite literally. It's so fucking dumb. They had me for, like, almost the entire movie, but then that happens, and I'm like, what the fuck, man?
So the reason why I laughed so hard was I saw a meme that I didn't know the context of yet, but I had a feeling, where it was Jax, and someone had, it basically was like Jax 90% of Mortal Kombat, and it was a picture of him. And someone had put giant ass paper clips, replaced his arms with giant ass paper clips.
Right, exactly.
And I was like, well, that's interesting. I wonder what that's great.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those that, do you think it would get better with a sequel, or they should stop now?
Yeah. It's a good start. I just, maybe they had too much going on. Maybe they didn't have enough going on. They didn't find the balance. Whatever way you try to look at it, whether you think it's a bad movie or a good movie, they just didn't balance it correctly. But what I really, really don't like is how many people are saying that it's really good. Let's go to Metacritic or Rotten Tomato. Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes.
I wonder what it gave nobody.
Huh?
I said, I wonder what it gave nobody.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows.
Oh, well, they gave it an 83. Jesus. Nobody. Mortal Kombat, they gave a...
oh, God. Okay, so this is what annoys me. Of course the critics gave it a bad score. I don't imagine the critics giving it a good score. But the audience is giving it an 87. And there's even some, like, IGN, I think, that gave it like a 9 out of 10. And I'm like, it's good. It's better than Annihilation, for sure. But a 9? No. Not even close to a 9. Even 87 is too fucking close to a 9. Because it is not a 9. It is a hard 7. A hard 7.5 at best. And the fact that it's all the way at 87. 4.3 out of 5. Star average? No! It might be a 4-star. I don't know if people are, like, review bombing it because they just want more movies like this made. You know what I mean? But, like, the only thing we can really, really compare it to is, like, Sonic. Sonic had heart. Sonic had a perfect balance of wit and humor, and it still felt like the video game, but somehow in the real world. And it found a perfect balance. So that movie deserves whatever accolades. I'm going to look it up. I swear to God, if it's below, I'm going to lose my goddamn shit. Okay, so 87, and what's the...
Audience, 87.54 is the tomato meter.
It's for the... 63.93. Okay, so it is better. It is measurably better than Mortal Kombat, which is 100% true. So thank freaking God, because I swear to God, if this would have gotten like an 80 and Mortal Kombat was sitting at 87 or whatever, it's like, oh, but because there's blood or whatever. And that's one thing, is that like a lot of people, or at least a couple of the articles that I read, were like pointing out that like the action was really awesome and the gore, and then I'm like, yeah, the gore is there and the action is there, But I really feel that so many people had such little expectation for this that they put it on this pedestal that it didn't earn. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't earn that. Now, another movie that definitely deserves whatever accolades. We watched it last night. Mitchell's versus the Machines.
Oh, I think I actually had heard about that.
Oh, God. So, first off, made by the same people who made Into the Spider-Verse.
Ooh.
The humor.
Oh, I saw the trailer for this, yes.
The humor of it all. The feeling. Now, I'm a dad, and so immediately when you have in the story, when you have a father and a daughter who are becoming estranged and they find a way to like come together, immediately I'm gonna be a fucking sprinkler, okay? But this one definitely had heart to it. It definitely had depth to it. Basically the daughter's going off to college and the dad forces them to go on this road trip or whatever, and the humor behind it all is so funny. Halfway throughout the movie, when the maybe not halfway, but anyways, when the robot apocalypse starts to happen, these two robots they have an error, basically. You know what I mean? So they're no longer kind of linked to the motherboard, which is what's controlling all the other robots or whatever. So they're able to kind of have free will or whatever. But the entire sequence of them realizing that, they try to be humans, and then they're like, oh yes, but we know where the humans are. Let us go over here. They go over here and then they draw faces on themselves, like, see, we are normal humans. And then they're in the car and they're trying to get away from robots, and so because of their error, they can now get commands given to them, like, hey, stop that, and then they stop. So the dad's like, hey, go get those robots or whatever, and it's like, okay, hey, I found one too, and they're just pointing at each other. And it's little things like that. And then the way they defeat the machines at the end, I won't give it away, but it's just the most ridiculous thing. And I mean, like, it had me rolling, and it's such a good movie. Definitely, as far as I know, definitely a really good follow-up to, like, Into the Spider-Verse from this production company. Like, definitely just as good as far as like story and everything. I didn't realize this. I kept thinking it was Ed Helms, but it's actually Danny McBride who voices the dad or whatever. So,
oh, I love Danny McBride.
That's, yeah, perfect. So really, really funny. Just overall a great movie. So definitely watch it for sure.
So let me ask you this. When it comes to Netflix animated movies, because I remember the last real animated hidden gem that I remember I genuinely loved, and I feel like I have the caliber, it's kind of what you're saying here, was Next Gen.
Yeah.
So, like, in your personal ranking, where would you say as far as, like, between those two? And then...
I would say over. Definitely over. Because Next Gen was the journey of a single girl, and she was quirky or whatever, whereas this is like a family movie, so each member of the family has their own story arc, each member of the family has a
it's
role.
Like a vacation. Oh wow.
Yeah, it's like, it's a vacation,
it got way movie. Higher way higher reviews on,
yep, we got tomato. 97 on tomato meter, 91 on the audience meter, and it definitely deserves it.
And for comparison, Next Gen has an 80% on the tomato meter and a 67% audience score.
Yep, yep. So that's one we liked it for sure. Yeah. But I don't think everybody liked it. Whereas this one,
Big Hero 6 vibes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm gonna check that out. That looks really, really good.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's an easy watch too. It's almost 2 hours long, but like it's an easy watch. So, then I think the last thing I've been watching is called Yuzuki. It's the Black Samurai. It's an anime. And I want you to watch it, so I won't give away too much. But I love how it mixes so many different things. And what I mean by that is that the overall aesthetic is feudal Japan. But then it mixes in mutants, a werebear, not a werewolf, werebear. Who's Russian, by the way? A freaking Gundam. a Jamaican guy who projects spirits to do his fightings for him. And just overall magic in general or whatever. And none of that, at least from the trailer I first watched, none of that was in the trailer. So like when the first scene is going on, there's a bunch of samurais and they're like cutting each other in half. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. All of a sudden this freaking Gundam comes out of nowhere. And I'm like, whoa, what the hell's going on? Okay. And it got my attention almost immediately.
Oh, yeah. I'm 100% watching this. Like, yeah. There's no way, like, I'm just sitting here. So, okay. Two things that are getting me right now. Uh-huh. One is I still have a really big high off of Ghost of Tsushima. Spending many hours in that world, like, it really makes me want to get more invested. So the feudal Japan, right off the bat, I'm watching the first part of the trailer. I'm like, okay. That already interests me. Second off, it looks like Avatar. Like, the animation style looks like Avatar The Last Airbender. Like,
ooh, yeah. Wow.
It does. And then I'm like, that already has my interest. And then after it has one of that first fight sequences in the trailer and the music starts going into that, like, more Japanese hip-hop, I'm like, okay, this is what
I'm doing. Yeah.
This is... So, like, that's like a melting pot of every... Oh, yeah, okay. That... Mm.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm gonna text you tonight because, like, I'm gonna watch that today.
Yeah, I'm already on episode. So I just finished episode 3, and they just took out one of the big baddies or whatever. And the way it happened was just like, yeah, get it, so good. And I like how, even though there's like magical characters, the main character, he's really good at fighting, but I wouldn't say he's magical. So it's really interesting, you know, you have a character who feels human against these otherworldly like creatures, and he's really like holding his own for the most part. So I really like that.
That's kind of where I think I'm getting the Ghost of Tsushima vibes, because that's the thing about Jin Sakai, is he's a normal guy. Now, granted, you're in a video game, so it's a little bit more dramatic, but like, he has this reputation of being this otherworldly being because of how good he is with a sword and how good his, you know, abilities are.
Yeah, that's you. Hi, everybody.
It's the Maddie segment.
Yeah. What did you think about Mitchells versus the Machines? Yeah, she agrees.
I think she appreciated the humor just as much as you did. You're like, there's certain things that I can see where I'm like, okay, Nick would enjoy this. Like, this is his sense of humor.
Yeah. You smell like SpaghettiOs. Do you have more of your raviolis? No?
It was a pouch.
Oh, okay.
That she decided to get all over the kitten.
I know. Go to my...
Should mom. Name the cat SpaghettiOs now.
I know, right? We'll name them SpaghettiOs now, Mike.
Parker SpaghettiOs. Well, should we get into mine, or do you think it's time for a music break?
What's yours?
Marvel.
Oh, yeah, we can do a quick music break. Gotta stretch our legs a little bit, and then we'll come right back into the woods. Into the woods. I hate you.
honestly, and
how the fuck? Let's answer. Riddle me this, motherfucker. How could you get up to the second to the last episode of Invincible and not think to yourself, Jesus, I bet I gotta see what happens now?
Well, because I caught up before the last one had come out. So like, I hadn't gotten to it. So here's the thing. And please get mad at me. Please be angry at me, because while I was going through rewatching these MCU movies, there was a part of me that was going, something doesn't feel right about this. I feel like I should be doing something else. And that's one of those things. So like so going to it, oh my God. Okay. Wife sending me pictures. That's not very nice when we're recording. with me in like the rewatch, that's what I have been doing, but it's like, I feel bad because it's like, yeah, I know I'm in the wrong. I don't really have an excuse. I'm trying to find a way to get out of this and I really don't have one.
So I can talk about pretty much everything except for the last episode.
Yes.
Okay. So that goes for everybody else here, you know, who probably already watched the last episode. I mean, let's just talk about Invincible overall now that you've kind of been, you know, inundated
watch a lot
to
more
it,
of it, yeah.
You know, because before you're like, yeah, I got through the first episode. I'm like, you fucker.
Yeah.
It's so, so goddamn good. And the boys did a really good job of giving us this look into the superhero world as if it was alive in our real world.
Yep.
You know, with our politics and our corporate agendas and everything. So it did a really good job of showing this. And somehow Invincible still made it seem like this is what it would be like if there was a world with superheroes. And it's so weird because it's like we did already get that with the boys. But I feel like this did it. And it, I wouldn't say it did it better than the boys necessarily, but it did it in its own way, making it just as interesting, if not more interesting, because then what you could argue is looking at all the stuff that they got right about it, all the stuff that they frame by frame copied from the freaking comic books.
There's a lot going into the show that made it a reason to be a success. The biggest one that I'm so glad you started this conversation with the boys, because while I love the boys and I think it's great, I think I agree with you. This far surpasses what they have done. Like, this basically has come out and been like, oh, okay, let's show you how we really do it. And I think the reason for that, and you're kind of curious about why that is because this is wholly original, like solely original, based on source material. Whereas you kind of have that separation of immersion in the boys because you're like, oh, he's clearly Aquaman. Oh, that's Superman.
Well, I mean, they have that in here, too, but then they kill him off on episode one.
But even still, like, this is one of those, I think, because of the presentation that's given to us. Like, the combination of like, the familiarity and the fact that it's live action. Like, whenever I explain the boys to people, it's like, it's exactly if the Justice League was owned by corporate America. And with this, I can't figure out really a way to tell people about it, except for this is a completely original comic story. Mm-hmm. Watch the first episode. That's all I can really say. And I think that speaks volumes to it. Like that I think is what keeps the staying power, is it does feel original. The fact that I can feel like this is my, in my 25, I mean, I'm 25. That's how old I am. like I can have Saturday morning cartoons again. Mm-hmm. And it feel like it grew up with me.
Right. Definitely. Especially growing up, like just, I guess, how do you put it? I feel like in some cases, in The Boys, for instance, the gore was there to shock you.
Yeah.
And while the gore definitely is still kind of there to shock you in this one as well, I feel like it actually makes more sense. And I'll bring up one instance in particular. It's the second episode. The aliens are invading. Invincible goes to try to save an old lady and literally breaks her. Her arms are broken, her legs are broken, and he is inconsolable. Yeah. He's just like, holy shit, what did I just do to this lady? And even later on in the episode, you know, they're trying to fix her at the Pentagon, basically, and it's just like, you can tell it means something to him. Whereas something like that would happen, it's definitely shocking in The Boys, but then they just move the fuck on. And I think that that's part of the, especially with Carl Urban and his like character or whatever, that that's the whole point is that, yeah, I've been so desensitized by this and like, it, you know, I thought my wife was dead and everything. So it's like, that's part of his character, but that doesn't explain why everybody else doesn't give a shit. You know what I mean? Whereas yeah. here we have it from the other perspective, a superhero who pretty much almost killed this old lady that he was trying to save and he fucked it up so bad. And to see that kind of anguish, like that's something you don't normally see from a superhero's perspective. That's one thing I really liked in Civil War when they showed all these big battles that happened in the previous Avengers, but they showed it from like the ground level. So like Hulk smashed up against a wall or whatever because he was trying to jump over here or whatever, but we got to see it from somebody recording it and they got smashed by the debris, you know? It's like that times a thousand in Invincible, I feel like, because yeah. we really got to feel like, what does it feel like to have that much power and you're still learning how to use it? Like, it's such a unique perspective that we've just never gotten before.
The boys in Invincible could easily be a film study or cinematography study, or I guess presentation study, like kind of post, you know, like you teach us in school, because I think that has a lot to do with it too. A good example is gore. Invincible gives it to you. Invincible starts you off thinking that this is Peter Parker cartoon. You've seen this before, and he's like, oh, okay, there's some cuss words, this is kind of adult, and at the very end is like, oh my dear God, what the fuck just happened? Whereas The Boys starts you off, oh, I love you. Here, I just covered your girlfriend. I'm just covered by your girlfriend's blood.
Right.
You know? And so it's like right off the bat, you knew what you were getting into. Like it kind of exposed you at that. And so I think when you watch the show, you expect what's going to be the craziest shit I'm about to see next. Whereas with this, I have no expectations. And that kind of goes into, I talked about it last week. When I watched episode 2, I had no expectation. After that, I had no expectations. I was like, what's going to happen? And that whole, and I remember that from the comics. I don't remember it in that. It wasn't in the city, was it? It was in a different, like, it might have been. Yeah, I think it was. But yeah, I remembered that. And so it was kind of like, oh, okay. But seeing that played out and the way that it was filmed and the presentation, and I love how they can show, because you know I'm a big audio music guy.
Right.
Like, the music that they're playing is fit for this generation. So this can be considered a genre cartoon. Like, people growing up in this generation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something that can be related to, I guess, in some context. But, yeah, I'm watching it. And then the whole scene that happens with, what is his name? Seth Rogen's character.
Alan the alien,
like immediately, like when he started talking, I was like, okay, that's Seth Rogen. Yeah, but like that whole thing from start to finish, and then whenever it just changed, it's like, let's talk, and then he's like, oh, I fucked up my job, I've been doing this for years,
right. And it was like, oh, God,
it was like, okay, I love this show. Like, this show has it's cementing its own style. It's not riffing off of anything. It's so unique, and I think that's why it stands out in such a good way.
I feel like there's enough familiar for you to latch onto so that it doesn't completely lose you, but then it takes the familiar and makes it new. You know, because, yeah, Omni-Man is Superman, and, yeah, he's a bad Superman, and, yeah, we have seen that before, but we haven't seen a Superman who also is struggling with a wife and kid at home. We haven't seen that before.
No. And kind of, in a way, you could segue to, it's making everything else kind of boring. Like, it's changing up the market, and that kind of goes into with me, as far as what we talked about before. I went back through, I just completed the phase 1 of Marvel, and it was hard. It was hard to get through them.
I feel like anything after a certain point, anything going back in Marvel's, I mean, that's 10 years. 10 whole fucking years.
I can't wait to get to Ultron. Once I'm at Ultron, after that I'm like, okay, I'm clear. Like, I'm interested. So
Going back and watching Age of Ultron, just like there's so much more appreciation for that movie.
With WandaVision and...
Yeah, not just that, but just also, I just feel like I've always liked... This is going to sound so pretentious. I've always liked that movie, and I've always liked it maybe even more than the original Avengers. But I feel like there's this giant discourse around the movie and how bad it sucked or whatever. And it's just like...
It kind of made you second guess your...
I don't see it. You know what I mean? And I hate that feeling. Because it's like the same thing with like Jurassic World. Jurassic World came out. Everybody fucking hated Jurassic World. And I'm like, why? What am I missing? And I hate that feeling because it happens with video games. It happens with every once in a while a TV show. And it happens with movies. And it's just like, what am I not seeing? Am I not pretentious enough? Do I just not care enough? You know? And it's like, I do. But I guess just sometimes I'm able to just enjoy something.
Well, yeah, Age of Ultron's rewatchability for me for the longest time was for James Spader, because there are certain movies that I see as I want to watch the character. Like Dark Knight Rises is a good example. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's better than The Dark Knight, but I will watch it over and over again because I will want to watch Tom Hardy become Bane. Yeah. Watching James Spader's performance as Ultron was so entertaining and so incredible, but even more so now I'm excited to get to it for WandaVision. But yeah, I decided to watch in the chronological order, in the timeline order. Mm-hmm. It was interesting for did I talk about this with Captain Marvel yet?
I don't think so. Or okay. Maybe.
Remind me, because I'm going to say it again. Okay. So, Captain America, I still think that the Captain America movies and trilogy and Falcon and Winter Soldier being lumped into that are the best that Marvel has made. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's my favorite. But Captain America, I was like, okay, I enjoy this. This is good. And that was good because watching Falcon Winter Soldier, I've already felt in that universe.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel, completely forgettable film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I moved on to Iron Man. And
I think
then
you
realized,
did talk about this before, but that's okay.
Okay. I realized, if you hadn't heard it, I'm watching Iron Man, and they said something about, like, Nick Fury had come up, and I'm like, oh, that's right, I just watched Captain Marvel like 2 days prior. And just and so going into Avengers, it took me 4 times to watch Avengers because I kept falling asleep.
Oh, really?
Not necessarily because of the movie, but because I've been exhausted running around like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I finally did that, and then I watched Thor the Dark World last night. I fell asleep during that too, but it was towards the end, and I'm like, I don't care. I don't need to see the fight. It's fine. I'm happy I did that. But now it's going into Iron Man 3, which I do enjoy. I think Iron Man 3 is good. Watching Iron Man 2 is a more enjoyable movie now in the context of Endgame, because you're seeing him interact with his father, and you know he's building the Tesseract energy. Like, just to see him build a human male make the Tesseract again, like it's kind of cool, but I've also seen it so many times, so it was boring. But like now it's where I'm looking forward to. But the first phase of Marvel, and you can clearly see, and I think phase 3 and phase 4 are clearly going to be the best so far, because they've become nuanced. Like right when you get to Winter Soldier and Civil War, like it's a different kind of superhero movie, but man, how cheesy. Because I'm with you. I used to really, really love the first Avengers, but now that we have the context of the entire Infinity Saga, it's like, man, it does not, like, it is cheesy superhero, which was fitting at that time, but it makes stuff like that hard when you have something like Invincible and it's so new and it's so good.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because what? Is this real?
What?
I hope this is this fucking real? I'm looking, sorry. Complete segue. Spider-Man No Way Home exclusive first look.
No way. This is not.
Is it
not real?
It's from Screen Culture. I don't know. I don't know if I've heard of them before. Screen Culture, new movie, TV series, trailers, everything all day. I mean, he has legitimate things like, you know, Army of the Dead, Hawkeye. Okay, we're gonna have to see if this is legit or not, because I mean the thumbnail is Homecoming,
no, dude,
Spider-Man
it was
with
to go.
Huh?
It was posted 2 months ago. From Screen Culture?
No, no, I have one that's 5 days ago.
Wow. I'm seeing a lot of leaked trailer footage.
Yeah.
Your cravings have been taken.
Jesus Christ! Stupid commercials and their
Did you send it to me? Only at Taco Bell. Oh wait, hold on. Does it?
I can say that it's the most.
Is it two Spider-Man and the?
I'm just seeing if it's true before I give it. Movie ever made.
You sit down and you read the script, and you see what they're trying to do, and they are succeeding.
Yeah.
It's really impressive. I've never seen a standalone superhero movie quite like it, and
he's just being kind of vague.
That lucky little who happens to be Spider-Man in it, so yeah. I can't.
Okay, can't that was clearly amazing that. Spider-Man, I'm just not as excited as everyone Tom Holland's Spider-Man,
let alone be a part of it.
Yeah,
but no.
You guys, okay, yeah, get some more shooting to do.
Yeah,
well, now that's Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
Christmas. We shot like 7 weeks before Christmas. We stopped for the Christmas break, and then we start shooting. I think next week. I'm not sure.
We'll see if you have to put a suit on or not next week.
It's mixing up too many of them.
Hold on, there's leaked trailer footage.
Wait a second. No, that was Sorry, I didn't mean to derail us so fucking much, but it's like I saw that and I'm like, is that true? Is it not true? I don't know. I need to know. Anyways, okay. What the hell were we talking about?
Invincible. I don't know, but now I'm like lost. I'm kind of mad because I'm like, man, I got really excited about that.
I did too. I'm like, Ape versus Monster trailer.
Oh, you will be happy about this. Well, honestly, another reason why I wanted to start rewatching these is because I wanted to kind of lead into Loki so that I could use that as an excuse. Go up, scroll up. Oh, what were you looking at? You were looking at something. Oh,
bitch. That's what I was looking at.
I'm looking on the stream. Oh, you burped. Okay, never mind. You're pulling. I was looking for the stream delay. The Wrath of Man, I was going to tell you, I don't know if you saw, it has a 63% right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh.
Which, I mean, for a movie that's like that, that's good. I see that as good.
Well, yeah, I feel like, what I don't like about critics is they critique a movie.
Right.
Shut up. They critique a movie. I didn't finish my thought, so let me finish my thought before you start giving me shit, okay? But they critique a movie based on, like, the art of making a movie rather than what makes a movie enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, the ones that get all the Oscars are the ones that pay for it, but also the ones that are using it as a artistic expression or something. Uh-huh. Where, hey, sometimes there's this movie, it has Jason Statham, he's out to get revenge, and like to expect anything else is kind of dumb, you know? So it's like, because then if you look at what's the audience on that one,
it hasn't, like, it's just critics reviews so far.
Oh, I guess it's not out yet, huh?
Yeah, it's not out yet, but
okay.
I was saying that in a good context because I feel like movies of that caliber most like don't get critically reviewed well.
Yeah.
So that is basically like whenever you told put an example, when you said Mortal Kombat, it's a solid 7, I'm like, okay, I have my expectations for the movie and I know my enjoyability going into it. So like okay.
we're going to check this one out just for shits and giggles.
Which one?
Where's my Discord? Where'd I put my Discord? All right, you know what? In the dock, because I can't figure out where my Discord is.
My Discord. Boop.
Hold on. Now I lost it. Okay, here we go. Here we go. We're going to click on that.
Okay. I got to see what this shit is.
So it was like straight to DVD movies or whatever, and it's obviously trying to get off of... Get off. Oh, it's by Asylum. Oh, no! It's by Asylum. They are like the worst. Okay.
Look at the. Do you read the description?
Scroll down the description. All right. We'll scroll down here. First trailer for Ape versus Let me get it on stream. There you go. Godzilla versus Kong, like. That's it? They don't even, like... I mean, in their defense, it might not be... Like, that might not be the description on the actual... Let's see. We're going to go... Ape versus monster. Okay. Maybe we can see from the actual, like, asylum. Here we go. From asylum themselves. Okay. Hold on. Hold your horses. I'm not playing you yet. Okay.
Is that the description of the movie?
There's no fucking description. There's no marketing. There's nothing. The asylum is just like, here, you know what we are.
Let's just watch it from there. Let's just watch it.
Okay. All right. So here we go. You ready? One, two, three. That was somebody in a freaking costume.
Do you believe it has something to do with Abraham's growth? How do you know that there weren't traces of that substance left on the desert floor?
Unidentified life forms moving really fast eastbound.
Secure the area!
Where are the targets currently headed?
Washington, D.C.
Oh, dear God.
The Gila. It's about to emerge.
What? That's like the 1999 Godzilla.
The horror we're facing now will only just be the beginning.
This is war, gentlemen. Intergalactic combat.
I think we've got a problem.
Oh, God. There's like moments. There's moments like right here. Let's go.
Please rewind back to like 25 seconds. There's a.
Hold on. I wanna point out something real fast. So give me a second. Okay, right here. That's actually not that bad. But the thing is that it's all CG. So as soon as you add in real stuff, or oh no, that's not even real. I thought it was real, but it's like that shot was actually not that bad. But then you look at this, and it's like, look how bad. This background is, the Jeep itself doesn't look that real. The terrain looks like it's on a PlayStation 2 or something. It's just like... Anyways, so you said 25 seconds?
25 seconds.
20... Here we go. Right, 22 seconds. Yeah. Where it's in the dark or something?
Yeah, the thing in the dark.
Yeah.
That's the thing, like...
That looks so fucking janky. Like,
it does. Like, that's
what
the
is
first
it supposed to be? Is it supposed to be an animal? Because I feel like down the road they get a little bit better look at it and just... I don't know. I guess that is kind of the same thing or whatever.
Yeah, that thing looks... I mean, if you look at it, it looks terrible. What is he even in?
Right.
It's some sort of oh my god, that is terrible.
It's the secret of the ooze, okay? That's the funniest part about the whole story is that it's like secret of the ooze. But also, like, that's the weirdest thing about Asylum is that, like, that's all they do is they make mockbusters is what they're called or whatever. They literally just take a movie like King Kong or something, and they're just like, okay, they've had their own Suicide Squad, they've had their own Avengers, and it's always shot like a fucking porno with the worst graphics ever. Not that I would know what a porno looks like, but you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're safe.
I was like, oh my god, they've got one from that came out last year called Top Gunner. Jesus Christ, I'm going through their videos right now.
Man, when are we getting that, huh? We're supposed to
I don't
see,
know, because there's no description.
We were supposed to see Tom Cruise going on a long time ago.
That's a good point. That's the one I don't know about.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah, this is all completely terrible. Aquarium of the Dead.
Aquarium... Aquarium. Anyways, what the fuck were we talking about?
I have no idea, because now I'm just watching these trailers. That's awful. Oh my god, why did you do this to me? Why did you?
That's all, folks.
Oh, I think we're still talking about Invincible.
Probably, and how influential it was, and yada yada, blah de blah.
Yeah.
Have you seen the good coming out from Returnal?
Yes, I did. And man, if they don't fix this shortage of PS5s, I'm gonna be really fucking upset.
Yep.
Because that, I mean, you got that and the state of play of Ratchet and Clank.
Lord, like, they've always had that kind of mission statement that they basically wanted to look like a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
And while their cutscenes would look as good as a Pixar movie, their gameplay would always kind of trail behind or whatever. Now it's like, yeah, that's a fucking Pixar movie right there.
Yeah. Yeah, all the cutscenes look like rendered in the same, as far as in that sense. But what got me was the technical aspects. When they're describing as far as the entire arsenal, which is what most people love about Ratchet and Clank, you are now going to have a different level of immersion by feeling what those different guns feel like.
Mm-hmm. Especially, yeah, the haptic feedback, what it feels like to go pew-pew versus like a giant from a shotgun, and how that's going to feel, how the trigger is going to feel. And everything. And I wonder if they're going to do something similar from Returnal. Because what I keep hearing about Returnal is that if you hold it down like halfway, you do like a normal, I think you're just aiming or something like that. But then if you hold it down, that's what activates the secondary. And there's definitely been weapons in the past that have secondary weapons or whatever. Oh no, you know, now that I think of it, they were talking about how if you go halfway, it shoots one of the barrels of the shotgun. And then if you pull it down both, it'll shoot both barrels or whatever.
Yeah.
So I kind of answer my own question there just by talking out loud.
But I mean, this is what's cool though, is we're getting these games that are showing us why, like, and I feel like more now, like, this is the only compliment I can give PlayStation right now compared to PS4 last time. This is basically still within the first year it's coming out. The first year of the PS4 coming out had some things that were like, okay, this is cool. Like, yes, this looks a lot better. This is prettier than the PS3, but I feel like games like Returnal, games like I think what we were nervous about is if people were going to actually utilize these new functionalities, like with the DualSense and, you know, the SSD, and seeing, especially in Ratchet and Clank, them demonstrating in real time, in real game. Also, I watched this on my 4K TV instead of my computer monitor.
Damn it. I had to watch it on my phone.
It was like a different level, dude. Like, I was like, wow. So, but seeing
level, man.
Seeing them show the Rift like ability, like going into a completely, and them going, no, this isn't just like this. We just rendered that world completely in that instant moment.
Yep.
Like, it's impressive. And not Sony. It's because it's not their fault. These chip manufacturers, get your shit together.
Well, I mean, Sony also needs to get their shit together, but they for do. Completely different reasons.
Yeah. No, they're really kind of.
It definitely makes you excited for more exclusives or whatever, because if they can utilize not just the system, but the haptic feedback, the triggers and everything, I do feel like they can make it interesting. Because, like, they've always had that. A really good example is PlayStation 3 when he had Killzone 2. There is these segments where you had to, like, crank a wheel. And so you literally had to, like, crank the controller. And that was like, okay, whatever. And, like, Uncharted, when you threw a grenade, you had to, like, tilt the freaking controller, which was just so dumb. And even when the PlayStation 4 came out, we had the touch pad or whatever. And some games used it, but no game, and this was so annoying, but no game really used it to its full capability.
No.
A really good example is like maybe an RTS, okay? A real-time strategy. How easy would it be to select a bunch of units when you have your own mouse pad essentially on your controller? Because that was one thing that was always really hard for controller RTSs. And part of the reason I think RTS has died, because the more popular consoles got, the less popular RTS has got. It might be a coincidence, but it also just might be that they can't figure out how to get it to work. And having a goddamn mouse pad on the controller, how did nobody think to themselves, let's use this, let's have Killzone, you know, like instead of Halo Wars, we get the Hellghast Wars or something. Like, endless possibilities. Even if you just did something cute and fun like the Ratchet and Clank universe, the Resistance universe, so many possibilities that they just basically were like, they forgot about the touchpad almost immediately. And I hate that, because it's like, why put something so interesting like it a touchpad? It became a
dedicated map button.
Sorry, what?
It became a dedicated map button.
Yeah, exactly. And, okay, another really good example is Outriders. I don't know if you've noticed this, but Outriders, you can use it as a mouse pad.
Mm-hmm.
So normally in Destiny or any of the other countless games where you have to move the analog, or you have to move this little circle with the analog, and you have to do that. In Outriders, for some reason, they decided to utilize that little mouse pad that you have on your fucking thing, and they actually utilized it. And I'm just like, I purposely went back to... what game was it? It's a recent game. I can't think of it off the top of my head. I purposely went back to another game that also had the whole cursor thing just to see if they used it, and I just never knew. And no, they didn't. And it's like, how many games have used that format where they have the little cursor and you're supposed to move it over here, move it over here? How many games? Yeah. No Man's Sky, that's the one. I tried it in No Man's Sky. They have that for all the menus that you have to fumble your way through. And being able to accurately go to the thing I want and click a button or whatever, how freaking easy would that be? And yet they don't use it. And that's a PlayStation exclusive. Here we have a game that's not even exclusive to the PlayStation, and they're not utilizing it properly. And it's so frustrating, because even if we're just talking about like a map, bring up a map, two fingers, go this way, zoom, you know, fuck off. Jesus Christ, dude. Two fingers just right through here. You know what I mean, you little slut. Anyways, but yeah, using your fingers to move the map and then zoom in, or you pinch to zoom in, or, you know, all that stuff. And double click to set a waypoint or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, so many possibilities that they just completely forgot about, and nobody used it. You know? So here we have let's get back to the PlayStation 5. So here we have the haptic feedback, and we have the triggers. And for the most part, it seems like they're going to start finally using them. But it just really begs the question, why? Why now? Why didn't they come up with funner ways to use the controllers?
It could have been a trial and error thing. Because, I mean, that's kind of what people applaud Apple about, is Apple's not the first. Like, Androids are always the first when it comes to different types of technologies. But Apple studies and figures out what works and refines it. You know, like the AirTags are good. If you haven't checked those out, look those up, because they're really cool. But like, they refine stuff. So I think that's kind of maybe what they did. Cause we obviously got the touchpad again on the DualShock 5 on the DualSense. Fuck me. The DualShock 5. This is what I get, PlayStation. I don't have a PS5 yet, so I'm calling it the wrong thing. They put the touchpad on there. So obviously it's something that, you know, they're going to utilize, hopefully. But that's what I was.
Another one. Web browser. Why the fuck, when we literally have a mouse, did we not be able to use it in the web browser? Go on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, that's a good example you brought with the map, because, like, make it the dedicated map button. Make it to where, like, if I'm playing Far Cry 4, I, you know, press it to open up the map. Why can't I ping, like, press down to, like, do a ping or, like, navigate the map like that? Maybe that's something that has that functionality in the DualSense, but I think it's now they're paying attention to what really could advance games going forward. Sony is, at least. No. I think that Xbox is, in terms of community. So I have a feeling that the next generation is going to be a melting pot. because I think we're already seeing where Sony's eyes are and where Xbox's are, and they're totally different.
Yeah. I mean, that is the most interesting thing about this generation, but like, it should never be at the expense of the other. So it's like Sony's going in one direction. They really want to focus on the haptic feedback. They really want to focus on making quality games or whatever, big blockbuster games or whatever. But then it's at the expense of, here's Game Pass, the best deal in gaming history. Yes, history. It's a GOAT. Greatest of all time. And PlayStation's just like, yeah, Avengers came out like 4 months ago. You guys want that? Yeah? Okay. It's fucking dumb.
It's an obvious night and day difference, and it's very frustrating.
Right? And I mean, that's, as a professional Sony pony, I'm a dance pony too. I do my little dance and I'm like, Sony's awesome. It's kind of frustrating because it's like you have so much on the Microsoft side that is just clearly better, so much better in so many different ways. And I basically just get to sit over here with my toy and look at the other person with like a more expensive or a better toy, maybe not more expensive, but you know what I mean, right? Like, I get to see them with their toy and I'm like, oh, mine doesn't do that. Like, it's just, and it's ridiculous too, because it'd be one thing if they just had an answer, but they don't. And they think someone, I don't know who, someone thinks that the haptic feedback and the blah, 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 what we've been talking about, they think that that's the answer. And it's like, that's an answer. I don't know if it's the right one. It's really an additive. Being able to feel my shots is a really good additive, but it's not the same additive as having a subscription base that's like Netflix for games.
Yeah,
it's not the same. And it's like, you do have the same, but it's almost like when a movie finally shows up on Showtime and it's been out for, you know, 4 months or something, it's kind of the same thing. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's people talk about it over and over and over again, but that's why Xbox is such like, because I can't get my hands on a PS5. Part of me is thinking about getting an Xbox, because I know that I can buy that Xbox and pay $15 a month and play as many games as I want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
including Knockout City.
Including Knockout City. but it's like, I kept my, when I sold my Xbox One a few years ago, I kept my copy of the Master Chief Collection, because I was like, I'm just going to keep that because I really don't want to repurchase that, because I know I'm going to want to have it. But I didn't need to have done that. I could have just paid $15 a month and got Halo right from there. True. So it's like, that's why it's so enticing. But I'm curious to see what's going to happen, because I think this is going to be a very messy console generation, especially if we can't get that manufacturing shit down, because I think people are starting to get frustrated.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, understandably so, but it's like, now we're getting to the point of, all right, answers, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Oh.
All right, you want to end it with another would you rather?
Would you rather, would you rather? Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Nah. Do you got one off the top of your head?
I do. I do.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So it's kind of invincible.
Okay, let's do it.
One of the things that I've enjoyed about Invincible is the superhero world building, where it's a little bit different. It's kind of like, this is going to be a weird comparison.
That's okay.
Pokemon Commonplace. Where it's like superheroes are so ingrained in, like, they're
gotcha,
so
okay, like, gotcha, okay.
So it's like, it's not weird that you have a pocket monster around
right,
you all the time.
Okay.
You know, and you're, it's not weird for you to see aliens and stuff like that. Like, it's, that's commonplace.
Good point. Yep.
So would you, as a human being, rather live in the world of the MCU with the heroes that are there, where it's very much, you know, it's still, I guess, grounded. I guess that would be a good way to put it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're living at that, or you're living in the world of, you know, this comic, I guess more specifically the superheroes, because you have a set thing with the Avengers, and then there's the whole thing with the government. It's not that varied, but here it's like, oh, here's the superheroes from Russia. Here's the superheroes from the US. Here's the ones for the globe. Here's the one, like, you've got, you know, you've got a larger collection of superheroes, like a conglomerate, almost X-Men kind of thing. I feel like that was kind of all over the place, and I apologize, but do you get where I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
would you, yeah.
It's, would you...
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
That's an interesting one. I feel like they're similar enough where there's not necessarily a wrong answer, but yeah, I do feel like the edge does kind of go for Invincible for me.
I'll rephrase. Would you rather live in a world where you had a set, like those were the superheroes, or you have the Avengers, they're the Avengers, or it's the world of like, I guess anyone could be a superhero, because that's kind of how it feels in Invincible. Like it's
true. That some is kind
of circumstance. Like, I guess Marvel hasn't given us that, like everyone can be kind of situation.
Okay. Well then, yeah, I think my answer would still be the same. Invincible, like to have a chance to be, because that's a really good. Even when like they're trying to do the Guardians of the Globe and they're trying to find the replacements or whatever, there are a ton of them. So that's a really good point. Because like, even if you look at it from like DC Universe Online, the whole like story to explain why there's so many superheroes around is that like Brainiac like released a bunch of nanites or some bullshit, and so. Yeah, so living in a world where there's a lot more superheroes or whatever, I think would be a lot more interesting than just here's this select group of people. You know, one was a god, one got experimented on, one's a fucking billionaire or something. So, yeah, I think Invincible would be much more interesting to live in.
Okay. I would say the same, because in that world, it kind of gives you more of a hopeful feeling. It also, I mean, there's a negative part to that with like aliens and shit invading, but the idea that really anything can happen to where that can be a thing. Like, I mean, I'd want to be a superhero.
Yeah, for sure.
But would I? That's kind of more of the show, but yeah, I'd say Invincible too.
Okay. So here's a good one. I'm going to go on my Yuzuki. I'm going to kind of use that as an example. Would you rather have a mutation? So basically when you use this mutation, it kind of turns you into this grotesque monster. Or would you like to have special powers, but these special powers are slowly killing you? So either way, you kind of have special abilities.
Grotesque monster. Yeah.
You'd rather be a grotesque monster because you kind of already.
All right, guys, and that's the end of the show. Oh, Nick, I'll be in Idaho. 17 hours. What am I driving? Oh, I'm not doing that.
I mean, would it help if the magic powers are like magic? Like you lift stuff, you could do fireballs.
No, because like because then that would entice me to want to use them more, and I would be slowly killing myself.
Mm-hmm. I guess you could even say that's kind of like what's wrong with Monster Girl. She used to be Monster Woman, but every time she uses her special powers, it de-ages her, so eventually she's gonna be a freaking baby. That's an interesting one. That's another thing I like about, sorry, here we go, we're going on a rant. That's another thing I like about Invincible, is like they come up with these like really cool things that you have the familiar, like your Wonder Woman knockoff and your Aquaman knockoff, but then they have like really unique ones that are just like
to make Aquaman actual fish is really funny too.
Right. Exactly. But then you have this girl who used to be a woman. She used to be Beast Woman, but now she's Beast Girl because of the whole circumstance or whatever. Like little touches like that, the little intricacies are really good. So anyways, okay, so you chose grotesque monster.
Yeah.
I think it would be harder, but I feel like as a grotesque monster, it'd be harder to be a good guy, because people would look at you in a way
you're misunderstood.
Like, yeah, you're misunderstood. You have that going for you. Exactly. I don't know if I could live with that. So I think I'm having special powers or whatever, but it's slowly killing
you. Have
me.
A good marketing campaign. That's all you have to have. Hey guys, just to let you know, this is gonna look really bad, and it's gonna look really like I'm a real big monster, but I'm real
I can't
good
wait for you to watch it. It's freaking awesome, dude. Okay, get to at least episode 3 so that we're right around. Well, by the next time we have a show, I will most likely have it binged. So if you could have it binged by next week, that'd be awesome. Because like,
I'm gonna try to finish Invincible and that. Well, I mean, I'm gonna finish Invincible, but like, what I'm saying.
I will only say one thing about the finale. Tell me, what is the most disturbing scene that you've seen so far in Invincible?
God, honestly, most one. You go, because I can't say the most one in particular that I've seen that it's like that's above all.
Yeah, I guess most disturbing. See, I can't say mine because mine's in the finale, so it's like I have to think of the second most disturbing. So, I don't know. I guess that opening, or not opening, but in the episode where he completely kills everybody, you know, he hits the Batman.
Honestly, I take it back. The most disturbing thing I saw was whenever she, the Wonder Woman, look like fake when she spat out that blood after her head was turned around. That was something truly.
Yeah. I mean, we got crushed bones. We've got like so many things like going on. Like when he got into the fight with Battle Beast. When he got into the fight with Battle Beast and he got completely whatever, and so did Beast Girl, like her freaking skull is, you know, showing or whatever. You remember that? That was definitely pretty disturbing or whatever. So all I will say about the finale is you have literally not seen shit. I got done with it and I went on to Twitter and I'm like at Invincible at Robert Kirkman, what the fuck? I have never been more disturbed.
You told me that at the beginning of the first episode.
Yes.
And that got me excited. So I am.
Yes. The first or the scene in the first episode where he completely massacres them does not hold a candle to the utter what the fuckism that you get to see in the finale. It is. And like I said, back when we're going back to the whole gore thing, the gore has a purpose. It's not just there to show. Yes, it is shocking, and yes, you will most likely want to throw up, but it has a reason for it, and the reason is just as fucked up as all the gore. And yeah. Oh my god, fucking watch it and then get back to me. Okay, all right, so I'm stuck again. What the fuck were we talking about?
I think that was the outro.
That was the outro. Everybody, watch Invincible and let me know what you thought about the subway. And yeah, so, all right. So anyways, I was Nick.
And I was Nate.
And you guys, you just have like the best day, okay? Oh, don't you rub your fingers down my spine? Girl, you love me.